You're listening to the MLS Fantasy Insider, bringing you weekly tips, tricks, and advice for the official MLS fantasy game. Hello and welcome to the MLS Fantasy Insider, our preview of round 8 of the 2024 MLS fantasy season. This episode is brought to you by Christian One, you guys, or was it the Eclipse? Brought to you by the amazing MLS Fantasy Insider Patreon community. It's because of you that we are able to keep this project going for as long as we have. Thank you so much. If you are interested in learning more about our Patreon project, head over to patreon.com/MLSFI. I'm your host, Reed Connolly from MLSFantasyBoss.com. And tonight I'm joined by my partner in fantasy, Ashley Savage. We'd also like to welcome our special guest, Isaac Jensen, a.k.a. Samurai Panda, or whatever your name du jour is this week, from the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord server. I believe it's Kung Fu Orca now, correct? There we go.
For the whole season this year.
Okay, this year it's Kung Fu Orca.
Catch up, Reed.
Did a brand refresh just like the Sounders.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. I will make sure to update all of my notes there. But yes, Isaac from the Discord server. Some fantastic results from the Discord server this year, of course. As we said at the top of the show, big congrats to Christian Ward, who was with us last week. Number one overall, number one scoring points for the fantasy round in general for round 7, 127 points. That is absolutely fantastic. And we're super excited to have Isaac with us tonight, too, because he has had a rocket climbing through the ranks. And so looking forward for him sharing some of his strategy, his thoughts as we get into it. One quick discussion topic I wanted to mention first. I know that we got some feedback from some people this week, and I'm sure we've gotten other weeks as well, that say, hey, guys, how come whenever we see some teams or hear some chatter that there are differences between what your teams are when you actually enter into the round than they are on Monday when we're talking about it? And you may have mentioned this guy, you may not have mentioned this guy. And happy to talk a little bit about that at the top of the show. But the short answer is because this is Monday. We have had just 24 hours to really start to digest information. More information is yet to come out. And a lot of the evolution of our own teams and our own thoughts are informed by members of the MLS Fantasy Boss community and other content creators who are out there. I know myself in particular, Skylar puts out articles that come out closer to game day. There's some other content creators who like to talk about clean sheet chances or some other XG numbers that come out later in the week from different individuals. And again, just the general chit chat that we have in chat. And as differentials get decided or as injuries and suspensions become more real or the actual rosters of the game day. There is an element where some of us will look. A good example this week was we were not super high on Cucho or Heal last week during the show on Monday because there was still CONCACAF Champions Cup that was going on midweek. Based on what happened in those games and based on the lineups that came out on Saturday, that changed a lot of what we were thinking. I added Heal, I added Cucho to my teams for the various success or failures that those brought. And so we will do our best to share some of the thoughts that we have, some of the pivots we may make, but some of that is just a natural evolution as the round goes on. If you decide to do a defense stack, if you decide to change up what your keeperoo or your ruse are going to be in general. So a lot of it's just evolution. None of it is from us trying to hide anything. That is one thing that we do take a lot of pride in with this show is, I mean, we're not here to hide the best information. We're just trying to share with you, honestly, the initial thoughts that we have coming out of the previous round, going into the next round to help start your planning. But I definitely can't plug enough, as you'll hear throughout the show, but honestly, the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community for that constant conversation is such an essential part and such a valuable part and such a fun part of this community and this whole process that it has a very valuable place in the evolution of the selection as well. Anything you all want to add?
Yeah, I missed this. We've definitely gotten this in the past, ever since you stopped doing chalkboards before my time. So we haven't done them in quite some time.
It's been a while, yeah.
And I will say there were times where the chalkboard was more accurate as far as like what we were putting out when things do change.
Yeah.
I personally try not to change my team very much from when we meet on Monday to kick off on Saturday or whenever it is. But also, like you said, I'm never gonna like keep something to myself. If anything, I'm the opposite. I want to say it here, so when it hits, I can come back the next week and be like, see, I told you so about blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's Monday, right? That's all.
I mean, that's one of the awesome parts of fantasy MLS is the unlimited transfers. Like, yep. You get to tinker as much as you want.
Yeah.
And if you're not tinkering, are you even playing the game?
Correct. No.
But you can't over tinker.
Yes. Yes. That can be a problem. I generally, like, the Monday draft is always like, here's first impressions based on the matchups. And then I'll go digging into the stats and other, you know, tournaments that are happening and make adjustments that way. But I generally, I will continue to tinker throughout the entire week until I feel like, okay, this is it. This is the draft. This is what I'm going to stick with. Yeah. And if I never get that feeling of like, okay, this is it, going into that first lineup on Saturday, like that's usually when I do really bad.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm overly stressed. I'm overly thinking about it.
Yeah.
But once I'm like, okay, I feel good about this, I'm going to leave it until lineups, you know, half my guys are injured or whatever.
But yeah, so that's just how I want to do that quick touch, because we know we did get some feedback. I didn't take it as like a malicious comments or questions, but I just, we know we have new players joining us. This is the thought. And I am like, actually, my teams don't change too much from some of what I mentioned on the show, but I do oftentimes know all of us do. We also like to mention just some of the options in general. So who we mentioned may not be a legal team. At times, we're just trying to cover and talk through some of the options for you to consider. So that was my quick general takeaway. I will now let us get into the meat and the potatoes of the show, where we start talking to you about how we did for a quick recap of fantasy relevant takeaways and our own scores from this previous round. So round seven, how'd you do, Isaac?
I was weak rank 7 with 120 points.
Get it.
Which shot me up from about 100 rank overall, from 140 something to 41. And this is after 3 really good weeks. This has been my worst start to fantasy since about 2018. I'm usually in the top 100 by about week 3 or 4 consistently. I've been in the 400s up until about 3 weeks ago. And then I had the Morgan hat trick. I had the Chicho hat trick. This last week I had Rui Diaz because I'm a homer. And that has shot me way up.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled. And I also managed to avoid the Cucho red. I had him on my bench because when he's starting, you have to have him. But I'm like, we got CCC. He's probably going to get pulled early. I'm going to hedge. And I got really lucky with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat.
And I beat you, actually.
Isaac beat me.
In the head-to-head. I honestly don't pay attention that much to head-to-heads. But when I saw it was you, I was like, oh, no, this is going to be a good pod.
This is going to be a good pod. We got beef to settle.
I love it. What about players who impress in your general thoughts?
Like for the first time ever, I'm going to say Van Zier. Like he has been such a dud until the last couple of rounds where, I mean, he still doesn't look goal dangerous, but he's contributing a lot to that attack. And I have to shout out the Sounders. Of course, they finally look close to the Sounders we know and have come to know over the years, because they were almost fully 100%. Yeah. And like I tried to tell people in the chat, it's like, it's not that Seattle have been bad this year. They haven't been healthy, haven't been fit, have injuries. And now that pretty much everyone is back or close to back, like this is what we got used to. I was blown away by the amount of key pass bonus points that Santi Rodriguez got for NYC. What was it, like 19 key passes for 3 bonus points?
Yeah.
That's insane. Like that might be the high for the year. I don't know if I've seen higher than that. And then one thing I did know, I had a twist of this last week, because up until last week, he had been the main set piece taker on corners, but now it looks like it's all Bogush. Like he's taking all the corner kicks, not a twista at all. And that took me by surprise. Like had I known that, I would not have taken a twista. Yeah, that's all my notes there.
All right. Ashley.
Yeah. I had a 107, which I thought was decent until
it's still good.
until I looked at Isaac's score. But it was around rank 53, which is never anything to shake my head at. And I actually moved up in overall rank to 19. It's the highest I've been so far this season. My total value is through the roof. Money is no longer an object. I didn't have Rui Diaz or Vancouver defense, so I'm honestly not sure how I didn't fall in rankings. I had Takioka as my bench keeper, but I didn't go either of those routes. So I was surprised, but I did gamble, and I will shout out Christian because he did talk me into it. But I gambled on Alex Roldan and Reagan as a double and pivoted away from my SKC defender. And honestly, I didn't really believe in that, and I am a homer. I think a lot of times on the pod, I kind of down on the Sounders, but it's in more of a frustrated homer way. And this season, yeah, you know, has been not their greatest. And so I was a little worried. I saw a lot of people with the stack and Fry on the back end, but they got the shutout, rolled on with the goal, Reagan with the assist. That really helped me out. I had Druisi on my bench, which was great with the 15. I also put Cucho on my bench, thank goodness. And then Evander, I would say, produced as a with a 9 in midfield. I had a lot of Gald FOMO. A lot of people, you know, around me or ahead of me had Gald with 10, but Evander had 9. So who am I to complain? Some players that impressed me. Druisi, the last 2 weeks since he's come back from injury, has produced. He's produced a goal and then 2 goals. I still don't love Austin, and one of his goals was a penalty, but the other one wasn't. And so he's back on my radar. I think, you know, he and Mukhtar were both kind of, I was flirting with them, and I think now I'm committed to Druisi as a serious option, you know, contingent on the matchup. And yeah, you know, like Isaac said, Rui Diaz, a goal from the run of play. Mm-hmm. He's had goals in his last 3 now, I think. 4 and 3. So he's super cheap if that's something that still matters to people. And, you know, there's some favorable matchups coming up. So definitely a player that's on my radar, as well as Alex Roldan, getting a goal in the back of the net, getting pushed up the field. He was out of position for a couple matches. I don't think he will be anymore. And then, yeah, someone, you know, that we didn't mention yet is Agata. I definitely saw his name thrown around this last week. Mm-hmm. Portland defense is bad, so I heard it, but I wasn't quite banking on Sporting yet going into this game, but I watched that game and he looked convincing to me. I mean, he wasn't just like tapping in a goal. He looked good. I was very impressed, and for him to kind of start to bust out was impressive. And then Santi also stood out to me, but also Espinoza is getting back to a consistent run of points, and I think that's great for fantasy, especially with them coming into a home match this weekend against a less than, you know, favorable Colorado side. It's nice to see Espinoza, you know, team of the week for fantasy last week. So I think he might be getting back into a rhythm.
Yeah, for me, I'll just keep it quick. I agree with a lot of what you guys said. I ended up with a 94 overall, won all of my head-to-heads, which I do pay a bit more attention to. up in the ranks, I think for this round, so the average for the round was 50, but we know that that's going to be a little swayed based on who is or isn't necessarily playing. But pretty happy with most of my results. I think if you got in the 70s, depending on where you were, you likely saw some increases. And if you got in that 90 to 100 range, you should have seen some kind of gain within your score. One thing I will talk about is I did not do anything with Vancouver. I know some people put Vancouver on the bench, which is absolutely where I think they should have been if you were in Vancouver. A lot of that, as Isaac and I were saying before the show started, was betting against Toronto with some of what's going on there. And that did pay off. For me, they've just never been a team that I have felt is consistent even in some of those matches. So I've just not trusted to have them on the bench. What I ended up going with was I had Gressel on the bench because I wasn't sure about that, but I started Parker and Roldan, and so I had some points there. And I started Jake Davis from Sporting Kansas City because it gave me some flexibility in case Gressel had hit. I was back and forth with who that more attacking minded defender would have been, so he did not do well, neither did Davis, so that was one that didn't hit for me. But I did swap in Heel at the end and got those 9 points. I had Evander myself. Really disappointed with the LA players for LA Galaxy players. I expected so much more out of that game, but I did have Bawanga captain, so that was good for me. And overall, this was the bad move. But when I saw Cucho playing, I added him into my lineup, in which I was debating with Agata. So that was not positive there, but I swapped him and put Atuesta on my bench because I had some flexibility with how that might work. So I ended up net losing 2 points.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not that much
because,
of a hit.
Because of the red card. So, I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but expected a lot more from the LA Galaxy players and did not produce there. But some of the guys you mentioned, yeah, Agata, that's 3 games in a row where he's gotten some good points. Bossy from Houston is also a couple of good rounds in a row, including one round where he got 8 points, which was very bonus point driven with no assists, no goals. So that's one that I'm keeping an eye on there. And of course, I mean, Messi comes in with the brace off the bench, gets that. He didn't start. So I think, I mean, I had him there as a placeholder. He didn't start. And so I was considering some of the others before I saw Cucho. And then he comes in and does that. That's the stuff Messi does. So keeping an eye on Champions League this week to see what that happens. Other than that, I think you guys have touched on a lot. Some fantastic scores that I'm seeing over in chat. A lot of people in the 90s, a few people in the 70s, but don't worry, you're still above the average of the round. It is not a bad place to be. But yes, Captain Nkucho, definitely. I get it. I get why you went there.
And I still saw some scores in the 80s with the Captain Nkucho.
Yeah.
Which was nuts.
Can I just say, I know we're like really hyping this and I don't actually think we can hype it enough. Christian got around rank one starting Cucho.
That's right.
Yep.
He started Cucho. He got round rank one with 10 players. I'm just really
And he went with the stack. I mean, that's a lot of what we said with strategy. Yeah. A lot of the year is just looking for cheap defenders who have a good chance of getting a clean sheet. And Christian went with the Takaoka and two Vancouver defenders on his bench, got the clean sheets, had it set up where they could sub in. And then he had two Sounders defenders already in the game. So he got...
And Rui Diaz.
And he had Rui Diaz. So he got 4 clean sheets right there with and the keeper. So he got 5 clean sheets in total with those bonus points. So 25 points right there. And then he got... And
also Veselinovic. He had Veselinovic who had the goal.
Yep. Correct.
That was a 15-pointer. I had him too.
And Alex, who got a goal. So two defenders. Yep. I'm just saying. We don't have to keep talking about it. I'm just
I mean, it's the strategies that we had. And he talked about some of that as well on the show last week, but was unsure. And so but that's part of how you balance, but why we've been looking for a lot of those budget defenders this year with the change in the points. So a lot of good takeaways right there. Otherwise, if you start looking through some of the scores, a lot of the usual people produced. Some of them did not. I know that Acosta had 7, which average for maybe him. I know there was there's been some defense or the keeper changes up there in Cincinnati, but 7 there. I know a lot of people had Acosta going in. I did fade him at the end, which I guess worked out because I got a 9 out of it with Evander, so it all worked there. But yeah, a lot of people you expected to produce did produce. These are just some of the ones that we felt worth mentioning as part of our takeaway. But we're going to get ready to talk about the housekeeping for round 8, because there are some more Champions League games that you will need to be aware of and other elements as you start working on making your team. And we'll get into that right after this. Hello and welcome back to our housekeeping segment for our MLS Fantasy Insider Round 8 preview. Started with just a very quick league update. A lot of people still tied, so not going to do the in-depth update. But we'll give a shout out to the MLS Fantasy Insider Hosts Invitational League. We have leading there right up the top, as everyone might be expecting, but our very own Christian Ward is winning by points. We do have 3 teams tied with a record of 6-0-1 right now. So very good. And Isaac Kung Fu Orca FC just outside of the top 5 right now. But I guess you, Skylar, and I are all tied at 5-0-2. So very, very tight. Very tight right there in the MLS Hosts Insider. As always, some of the best players in the game are here playing, as well as like Andrew Wiebe and I think maybe Doyle rejoining this year. So but good people as well, but fun people and good people. It's all a good time. But getting into the actual nuts and bolts, the meat and potatoes Round 8 starts on Saturday, April 13th at 4:45 p.m. with Portland versus LAFC. Back to a more normal Apple TV schedule. I know usually we have a 2 o'clock, 2:30, 2:45 kickoff. This one's at 4:45. Still plenty of time to preview that game before you get a bunch of 7:30s, some 8:30s, a 9:30, and some 10:30s. So a much better spaced round for any kind of keeper ruse or ruse in general. And then on Sunday, April 14th, we have Atlanta versus Philly at 2:30. And then St. Louis versus Austin at 4:45. So a lot of players out there to help you with your ruse to get that coordinated for this round. In addition to that, nobody's on a double, but we do have Nashville out on the bye. So you have the team to use to activate that. So it should be easy to set that up. Again, if you have any questions about the Aru, I know that Skylar mentioned the Keeperu in his article last week, talking about how to set that up, which just going to go ahead and take 100% credit for popularizing that from this community right here, the Arus in general. So nice to see that mainstream right there, but always happy to give a breakdown at MLSFantasyBoss.com. You can see my breakdown from round one of this season for how the Arus generally work if you want to learn about switcheroos and keeperoos and otteroos. So go check that out if you are new to that or want to learn more. Two things to be of note, really just one, but two dates. CONCACAF Champions Cup. We have April 9th, Columbus versus Tigres, and New England versus Club America. And then on April 10th, Miami versus Monterrey. So these are all in Mexico, if memory serves. Because we played here last week. They'll be all in Mexico this week, and it's going to be huge. I mean, it's going to be tough. So we'll see. I expect most teams to trot out their A teams, and we will see what happens. But do pay attention to those CONCACAF Champions games and see how they impact the lineups for these teams when they return. Because I know that was definitely something that all of us were talking about last round that we were keeping an eye out for before the game started. As far as the players injured or cards or anything, of course, we know that we had Cucho, who was on a red. We had Joseph Rosales from Minnesota, who was on a red. And then we had Nathan Dillon, Saliba from Montreal, also on a red. So for as far as returns, João Paulo is going to be at his first game of the season next week. At least we assume that will be correct, Ashley.
He subbed in. Yeah, he subbed in, and he looked like
he was ready to go. So there we go. So João Paulo should be.
They'll manage his minutes, but
Right. Chanot is back for LAFC, and then Claudio Brava has returned from injury as well there. Some of the big names that are on yellow card watch are not worth mentioning because no one's really there just yet, which is a surprise after all of the cards that we had at the first few games of the season, but no one really there. As far as injuries go, Nuhu had an off-the-ball injury. Kai Wagner had a nasty contusion that is being looked into. Campagna has some kind of injury from Miami, but we'll see what that happens. Derek Williams from Atlanta out for 2 weeks. We have Gigi is day-to-day. Giacomakis over Atlanta is also one to keep an eye on, which will impact some of your Sunday options right there. Zach McGraw from Portland has an injury. Bruno Wilson from San Jose got an injury in warmups, which is the worst time to get an injury. Like, and I don't mean that from a fantasy player. I just mean like from a player point of view, like in warmups, that's just awful. And then Mensah is nursing a hamstring over in New England. So those are some of the most notable injuries to take that we'll go ahead and mention right now. Isaac, Ashley, anything else you want to mention before we go on?
I don't think so.
Keep an eye on the MLS fantasy, not MLS fantasy, keep an eye on the MLS fantasy mega reference if you want to keep up to date on who is injured and who is returning, as well as set piece takers and players who are guaranteed to be out. You can also head over to MLSsoccer.com to their injury report and some of that disco information there. Not always as up to date because not everyone is as good as reporting it, but definitely do check that out as well. You can check out the card warnings and the information there So, but yeah, MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord, the best way to find that information. Head over to the fantasy tools section, and it's right there, as well as a plethora of other fancy stat sheets and data information that you can keep up with to help you get informed decisions for building your fantasy team. All right, but now what I know everyone has come for, and that is we're going to talk about the players who we are initially targeting going into round 8 right after this. Hello and welcome back for our final segment of the show, our initial targets going into round 8 of the MLS Fantasy season. A quick aside first, didn't give a shout out to one very important member of the MLS Fantasy Boss community, and that has to be Tyler Ranchinator Norman, the lead author of the differentials up there, is number one overall in the Veterans League in the MLS Fantasy Boss promotion relegation pyramid of games right there. So big shout out to Tyler, and big shout out for all that he does to help prep the injury reports and that we read off on the show. So if something was wrong, it was probably me for reading it wrong or overlooking it, not due to Tyler's work. So big congrats to you right there, Tyler. Sorry for overlooking you earlier in the show. But now let's get into it. So talking, as always, with keepers and defenders. Isaac, who are you looking at for round 8?
For my bench keeper, looking at Kalina for Charlotte. He's probably going to be one of the more popular front-end keeper-roo picks just because it's a favorable matchup for Charlotte. They've only allowed one goal in 3 home games. And Toronto without Insigne is just very toothless. I mean, that's kind of the yeah. thing behind the Vancouver picks last week. It wasn't so much faith in Vancouver's defense. It was faith in Toronto's terribleness. Mm-hmm. So I'm just rolling the dice on that again. I also like Cornell. New York Red Bulls have been very good defensively. They've got the lowest XG per 90 in the league. Or XGA, expected goals allowed per 90. Sorry. And Chicago attack, I mean, I feel like Chicago might be able to get one just because they've been scoring goals more than expected. But I mean, Red Bull defense has been pretty solid. And then for the back end, the fallback keeper is Berkey from St. Louis, just because Austin is that bad. Their XG over their 2 road games is 0.2. Point two.
Do you still feel good with games. Some of this resurgence from DeRussi that we've seen?
I mean, I feel like anybody should be able to score 4 goals on San Jose right now. So I'm not totally bought in. He looks good. He looks motivated.
Yeah.
But on the road, I mean, also I'll give Austin credit. Like the XG is so low because they bunkered in Seattle. They were going for the 0-0 draw. They only had one shot on target, or like one shot. So that's probably why that's so low. But he's probably the best fallback option. I don't really like any of the others, except I've got a couple of maybes. Maybe McMath from Real Salt Lake, just because Columbus won't have Cucho.
Yep.
The rest of the team might be tired from CCC. So that's a shout there, some Salt Lake defense. Or as a narrative pick that I just said, San Jose is terrible. But maybe Yarborough, just because it's against his old team. A revenge clean sheet, maybe. Mm-hmm. He's super cheap. I think he's under 5 million. I don't trust it because Colorado have scored 6 goals in 4 away games. So I think they're going to score at least 1 or 2. And then maybe Bono from DC, because Orlando have not scored on the road yet. It's only been 2 games, but they've not scored on the road.
Didn't realize that.
But that might also be because they were focused on CCC and missing a lot of players to injury and absence. But I mean, DC's worth a shout.
Ashley. Oh, sorry.
So are we doing defenders too or just keepers?
I was in a different section.
Gotcha. As far as defenders, pretty much anyone from those teams, I've still been very much in the just go with the cheapest option from the team, unless there's a clear, like, pick this one over that one. Like from Charlotte, I know Yeronen has been on some set pieces. He takes some corners, some free kicks. But I think any Charlotte defender is probably fine. They're all about the same price. I know there's been a lot of talk of Tolkien in the chat today. He hasn't been on as many set pieces this year just because Forsberg's in there. Morgan's back from injury. He was a monster last year because he was pretty much taking all of them because Morgan was injured. No one else on the field was taking them. But really, he's a good attacking fullback. And if he's going to play 90, which he's probably going to be slated to, like, it's a good option. I also like Brooks Lennon. You never pick Brooks Lennon for a clean sheet. You pick him for the attacking potential, the set pieces. Philadelphia defense has not been the strong defense we've come to, you know, known over the past few years. Mm-hmm. They've been leaking goals. They're getting results, but they're still leaking goals. And if Wagner is injured, I don't think he's going to miss the game if it's just a contusion. I went and watched the replay of that. Like he tried to walk through it or play through it for about 10 minutes before Curtin pulled him off at 60, which I think they were going to do subs anyway. If Lennon's not there, Brooks is just going to be dominating that right side of the pitch. So that's, I mean, yeah, Lennon's really for the attacking upside anyway. And then anyone from St. Louis, I mean, Parker's probably got the floor, if there's mm-hmm. even a floor for defenders anymore. And I'm waiting to look at CCC
matches. It's two, Isaac. Yeah. That's the floor.
Yeah, it's two. but I mean, like if picking one over another, like Parker over Totland, like is there really, do you see much difference between the two? Totland might, you know, get an attacking return, but Parker might as well. Like this last week, I went with Davis over Rosero from SKC because I thought he's the attacking fullback. And then Rosero goes and gets a goal. So it's, of course, yeah, whichever one you pick will be the wrong one is what I'm saying. And then if the Revolution go full strength in CCC this week, I think New York City defenders are worth a look just because New England have been so bad. And I think Porter said they're going to really push for it in CCC, which I think is a mistake because they're down 4-0 on aggregate. So why push your players in Mexico? And then, like I said, also with McMath, go with some RSL, Justin Glad, Brody, Hidalgo, if he starts, Nelly. They're all pretty decent options, I think.
Ashley.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of things that Isaac said. I am currently on Kalina to Berkey. That's the keeper matchup that made the most sense to me. I like Cornell too, but I'm, you know, I'll just echo everything that Isaac said about San Jose defense and New York and all those things. I expect Charlotte to be probably the chalkiest defense, but for good reason. And then, you know, just to be as vague as possible, which is not my style, but I like Red Bulls defenders, St. Louis defenders, Charlotte defenders, and Brooks Lennon. That's my current lineup. I'm currently doing a double St. Louis start. I'm running without a scrub right now just to see what I like. And right now I have two St. Louis defenders starting so that if I need to bring my bench points in, I can scrub one of them out. I have my Charlotte defender on my bench, and then I'm starting. I'm leaning Nealis for Red Bull, but I might change that, and then Brooks Lennon. So that's kind of the structure I'm looking at right now. But I like what Isaac said as well about City. They haven't been the most consistent team, but, you know, I think that depending on what CCL looks like, they might be a decent shout.
Again, I will echo what you guys said with the keepers. I think those are the three go-to keepers for this round. Fairly chalky right there. I mean, maybe you throw in Takaoka, just maybe if you have questions about LA Galaxy on the road after some of that pitiful show, but long, long away from the three that we mentioned. Those are the three that I still have penciled in as well, that I'm keeping an eye on this week. I will say that if you do go with a 7:30 keeper like Charlotte, it does limit your keeperoo options. So you're going to miss, you're going to be limited to pretty much those 10:30 games or the Sunday game. So it's great that Berkey's there. I asked my question to Isaac earlier about Austin with Drusy probably being the only question right there. But just do know that if you are going with a keeper from that 7:30 game, it of course will limit your Aru options for those keeperoos. And maybe that's when you do look at the long shot San Jose.
Do not take Crapel against LAFC, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Portland's defense is bad, bad, bad.
Yes. No, that's a good thing to point out as well. Like, not advocating for Portland, just that's mm-hmm. something to consider with the 7:30 yes. games, because
yeah.
it's going to be a later kickoff. Teams are already going to lock. So you're going to be even questionable if you are going to want to try to go with RSL with Columbus, if you see that lineup, because it's not going to line up perfectly. Mm-hmm. So you will probably have to pick game before it's over.
We we do know Kucho is not going to play that game.
Oh, 100%.
So it might be a good shout regardless. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we can see what happens there. But otherwise, I agree with the three main people that you have. And a lot of the defenders you do as well. I like that idea of that to St. Louis keeper that really does help you get around. Like, it's essentially being a scrub, but not having to be a scrub, because you can always bring in a Nashville player to facilitate one of those aroos, and that's some good reasons there. I will mention, as we're talking about Tolkien, true, everything you said, Isaac, but also 5.6. So the cheapest way into the New York Red Bulls defense as well. So he may not have as much of the upside as he once did if you're just looking for a warm body to do, say, to stack Red Bulls in the back, similar to what Christian did last week, then 5.6 is going to be a way to get in that, if you even care about that at this point of the season with some of the scores and team values that people have. I will mention, I think this is a long shot, but I'll get this as an example just for people, just to see how some of the systems work. With San Jose, their defense has not been fantastic, but Colorado has, though maybe not always on the road. I did not know that stat, Isaac. Not always been great with scoring. So if there is a chance, if you're looking at someone like Paul Marie, 4.0 has been playing defense with all of their games. He has guaranteed, got a goal last week and still only 5 points. Guaranteed not to lose value. He's at 4 million. So if you had him, and there was just someone in there you need, you hadn't scored on money, or you just wanted to throw someone on your bench just to see what would happen, he's 4 million. You're not going to lose anything having this guy in on your bench. But otherwise, I think there are a lot of other options that you guys have already covered who are more appealing. I will add Privet to the list if you're considering your Charlotte defender du jour, Londa Privet, kind of insert one over the other. I'm preferring a bit more of those center backs to the the wing backs, though I would go Lennon, especially with Wagner not being there, to see what kind of mess he could do on that side of the field. 100% agree with that. Checking chat real quick. Let's see here. I don't see anybody else really jumping out. So, oh, people asking about, oh yeah, no, that's a great one, Tyler. I did have that note. I'm intrigued by Seattle on the road. I don't know if I'm intrigued enough to grab them, but it's because Dallas has not been well.
Neither has Seattle. But neither, guys, one good game with a red card.
Right. But again,
Seattle defense is not being good.
Injuries, not doing great with scoring. I'm intrigued. They're not, again, for the end of the week final team, Seattle is not in my lineup right now. But I look at that and I see this team and I think, Dallas has been struggling. Seattle's coming off a good game. I don't know. There's
JP's
some,
possibly back.
JP's possibly back. So I have some head scratchers with that one.
I mean, it kind of feels like, it kind of feels like you're reaching for a differential at that point, just because the there are like two or three clear options. And I find it's been my experience that when the chalk is obvious, people tend to have the urge to go somewhere else for differentials.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to have the same team as everyone else. So let's go find.
I do this all the time. Yeah. Every week I do that. That's why I didn't have
I'm looking. Yeah. I'm looking at the head to head between Seattle and Dallas. And the last time Seattle had a clean sheet in Dallas was 2017.
Yeah. Okay. Seattle and Dallas is like a historically thing I don't like to touch.
So what you're saying is they're due. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No, no, I appreciate it.
All right, well, Joe.
That's what we're. That's right. He did do that. No, just talking it all through, but I just wanted to throw that out. We'll see if maybe that makes a differentials.
Well, right, no, but... I'm sorry, 2021.
Oh, okay.
My bad, 1-0.
So.
But like that matters.
They're not due.
Now.
Yeah. They're not as due as much anymore. But no, just throwing out some names, throwing out some ideas, general Monday evening musing. So let's move on now and see about midfielders. Ashley, who are you looking at?
This one was kind of straightforward to me in a way that made me uncomfortable, if that makes sense. Like, it made me feel like I was missing something and I, like, had to, like, go through the other matchups and be like, okay, well, I don't like Puig in Vancouver and I don't like, you know, like, you know what I mean? I had to, like, convince myself my five midi gut choices were okay. I started with Evander. LAFC haven't been a great road team and his floor is great. And so I just don't understand fading him currently. I like Santi Rodriguez for his bonus point production, the matchup. I like Espinoza. I kind of referenced him in my summary before. I think he is getting back into form, and I do like that matchup for him as well. I lean Forsberg over Lewis Morgan. I could hear either, but I just liked what he was doing before he took his like little break. And then I'm going Almada, I think, and I don't feel great about that one, but he hasn't quite broken through yet. It's tough because he is a later game. And so if we find out Gigi's for sure out, do I still want him? Does that make him better? It's tough, but that's where I was landing initially. I haven't been on the Gald train so far. And until they lost this weekend, even though they were giving up goals, I thought the Galaxy looked really good, even on the road, almost especially on the road. So that's just kind of deterring me, but possibly to my own detriment.
Isaac.
Yeah, I pretty much got all the same names on my list. Like, I've got Evander. You know, I really kind of balk at the phrase like someone's matchup proof when people say a player is matchup proof. I don't think anybody is truly matchup proof, but Evander is making a case right now. Like, he is finding a way to make it happen in just about every single match he's in.
If anybody was the least not matchup proof, he's winning that this season.
For now, yeah. I mean, wait till, you know, the end of the season. We'll see. I'm loving Santi Rodriguez for everything you said. Matchup is great, especially if Revs do go for it in CCC. Like, they're going to be tired. They're going to be fielding, you know, second stringers at defense. Omar Gonzalez, Andrew Farrell, these guys are still playing.
Farrell's a Kentucky guy.
Sorry.
With the loop.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but why are you playing him at fullback is my question. Like, I mean, clearly that's a bad decision. any attacker from the Red Bulls is probably a good one in this matchup. I also lean Forsberg just because when he's there, he's the guy. Everything runs through Forsberg. He's dictating the tempo. He's pulling all the strings. I think he's more likely to get those shot-creating actions. I liked Morgan when Forsberg wasn't there because when Forsberg wasn't there, Morgan was the guy, which is why I had him that week. He had a hat trick. I do like Gold. I'm convinced Sartini's back, and that for whatever reason, Sartini being on the pitch makes a world of difference to Vancouver. I've never thought Galaxy defense was that good. Like, they've been getting results on the road, yes, because they're scoring more goals than they're conceding, but they're still conceding a ton of goals. Christian Espinoza, of course, like, he's my guy. I'm also on the fence with Almada. It really depends on the injury news we hear from Philadelphia. If Blake is back and if Wagner's playing, I'm less inclined to take any Atlanta attack, even though they're always a good bet at home. I kind of feel like it'll end up being like a traffic cone situation where it's a low scoring, sure, kind of less exciting game than we'd expect. And some differentials I'm looking at, like I mentioned Bogish earlier, just because he's on set pieces. As of right now, Portland are the worst team at defending set pieces. They've given up 6 goals to dead ball situations, which is 4 more than any other team. So Bogish might be a shout. I like Mihailovic or maybe Bassett from Colorado, just because I don't see San Jose keeping a clean sheet, honestly. And I think if you're looking at Seattle as a differential, I would rather go with the attackers over defenders like Rusnak. He seems to be doing pretty well now that everyone is there in their natural spot and are starting to click.
So the disappointing thing is I feel like all of us were on the same main guys this round when we came in.
Like Ashley said, the midfield is pretty straightforward because there's a lot of good options at home. And so that's where everyone's going to gravitate.
Yeah, I made my team before looking at your guys. And before I added mine in, I was like, yep, nope, pretty much have everyone for me. Mm-hmm. Main difference for me is I am very heavily considering a New York Red Bull defense stack. And so that's going to eliminate having Forsberg or Morgan for me as a midfield there. But yeah, Santi, Espy, Evander, I'm considering Gold. Almada's there, but we're getting to a point where we're looking at Almada versus Lobozhenitsy for them in midfield. Same points.
Excellent pronunciation.
Thank you. I have to do one every now and then to keep people on their toes. So that's an interesting differential option, I think, which comes in at 1.4 million less as far as price tag, but an interesting take there against potentially that weakened Philly side. What do you all think about Pooch in Vancouver? He's in the running for my new Barrios for me right now, at Vancouver, he's just
that's
not
so rude to Ricky Pooch to even like.
Hey, I can't control
the same sentence.
I can't control what happens when he's on my team, but sure. he can.
I think the two key factors for Pooch is if Galaxy are going to dominate possession, if they are not going to get frustrated. Mm-hmm. Like I think we saw Pooch fail this last week because Pooch got frustrated in LAFC, and then he starts missing passes and he loses that passing bonus. Like he had 120 passes against LAFC, which would have been 3-point bonus, but he didn't get the accuracy because he was playing mad.
Yeah.
So when you see a matchup where Galaxy will dominate possession and you think it's an easy win, Pooch is the guy, of course. I don't think Vancouver is the game for that. I think Vancouver have been playing a very ball dominant game lately. I could see goals both ways, but I don't know if I see enough for Galaxy to go.
Vancouver's been a surprisingly decent home field advantage the last season and this season. And so I think if this was Vancouver at Galaxy, I'd more Captain. Inclined. I'm not like against it, but it didn't jump out at me. Like you said, Reid, with the home midfield matchups, Pooch is like my sixth or seventh person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I see it. I mean, he might be better than Almada.
Well, I think that's kind of what we're talking about here is like, who's your fifth guy? And I think Lucho's name has to come up as well. You mentioned, Isaac, that there are people who are like, no, I'm not going to buy into this. Regardless of fixture, this guy is always in my team. I think for some people, Lucho has been that guy. Not me, because I faded him last week. So this time we're on the road in Montreal, which Montreal has been a team we like to bet against, but this is Cincinnati on the road.
I mean, Lucho seems to be able to get it done. Even weeks I don't have faith in him, he still manages to get some points, maybe not as much
Stephens
as you want.
Respectable.
My issue with Montreal is for probably the last two, maybe three seasons, they have been a fortress at home. Their road defense has been the worst, but at home they were getting clean sheets and shutouts and not allowing many goals. I don't know if that's going to be the same thing this year. So I'm taking a wait and see. I wouldn't be surprised by a 0-0 in this one, honestly. But I also wouldn't be surprised by a 3-4 either direction. But it's too big of a variable for me that I think I'm okay with not going with Lucho, just because there are so many good home options.
Anything to add, Ashley?
No, I agree with that. Lucho's been, I don't know, on my bubble lately. I want to buy in, but I just can't quite. And I agree with what Isaac said about Montreal at home.
Yeah. I mean, just a quick rundown here. I mean, of course, Tillman did well for LAFC last week. I know a lot of us were looking different directions, but Tillman got a goal there. Portland struggled against the battle for fifth midfielder kind of talking here. Didn't mention Heal last because we had concerns of CCC. Same this week, copy and paste those same concerns. Mm-hmm. But again, Heal could be there. We'll mention down in I've lost my name. Give me just a second. For Shaqiri. Shaqiri in Chicago has been very quiet all year. Did well, got an 11 last week on the road this week against Red Bulls. I have much more faith in Red Bulls than that, but I'll throw his name out there just so he is in the mix of things that we're talking about. And then of course, super differentials. We talked about what was not good about Seattle. Jordy Mihailovic over in Colorado is something that is good for Colorado, so we can see what happens with that. But again, he's cheap, but I think we've covered some better options for number five as your midfield in this, but I just want to throw out some of those names there. So if you are looking at that, you can take a look at some of these guys and just see what you think. Random totally aside, I'll be at the Cincinnati game versus Colorado at the end of this month with the family. So if anyone's there, holler at me. It'll be a fun time.
I love that.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to forwards. A much more difficult position for me this round. So I'm interested in hearing your all's thoughts and from you as well, chat. So Isaac, who do you like?
Like if I could run nine forwards this week, I would, honestly. I like Ben Teke, even though he hasn't really hit the scoreboard recently. Orlando they've only played two road games, but they've allowed seven goals in those two road games. Five of those were Miami, of course, but I think DC plays a similar kind of pressing style, so that could be exploitable. I mentioned Van Zier earlier. I tend to prefer the Red Bull attackers for this matchup because Chicago is one of three teams that are averaging two or more goals against right now. Chicago, Portland, and Montreal. So I think there's goals to be had for Red Bulls. And Van Zier seems to be a key part of that attacking flow. He's getting more assists, getting those bonus points. I like it. Willy Agata, again, could he go for four goal contributions in four games? I haven't heard any news on Russell, but I think Agata gets nerfed if Russell is ready. But I doubt Russell starts this week anyway, just because he was completely out last week. I like Chicho, of course. He's definitely making a case for maybe being an MVP. We all heard about it on MLS 360 last week. I do think Columbus is a really good defense this year, but I do expect some tired legs after going full out in Mexico, which I expect them to do. Got Brian White and Fafa Pico up in Vancouver. They're starting to really click that front three with Gold. Also, I like, even though he hasn't really done much this season, Klaus. I really like Klaus this week because by the metrics I look at when I'm picking forwards, Austin is the worst in the league. They allow the most key passes for 90. They allow the most touches in the box per 90. They allow the most like shot creating actions per 90, at least in the Western Conference. And so Klaus is going to have a lot of opportunity. And I think this is the week we see some big numbers from him. And some maybes I'm on the fence about. I'm on the fence about Buonga just because I said, you know, Portland is one of those terrible defenses. He hasn't done great on the road this year, but everyone's scoring on Portland. So, I mean, if you want an LAFC attacker, Buonga's probably the guy. Bakrar over in New York City also hasn't done anything. He's got good stats, good underlying numbers. Just he's not clicking just yet, but this could be the matchup for him to do that. Just like with Rui Diaz last week, besides penalties, hadn't done it. But then here we go. And also, like I mentioned to Rusnak before, Rui Diaz might be, you know, now that he's got his mojo and Seattle are playing their best 11, just about could be another good week for Rui Diaz.
Ashley.
I'll do you one better. I have narrowed it down to four people, which is less than Isaac.
But lost my iPad there for a second.
It's like he just okay. Like,
drop the mic.
That's right.
Like, bam. I quit. I have narrowed it down to four people, which is less than Isaac, but not by much. And I like, and now with the names he said, I'm like, oh shit, that does kind of. I put Ben Teke, Van Zier, Chicho, and Buonga, and I just keep cycling between the four of them. I think Chicho is my lockest lock, and then I just can't narrow it down. I love the Klaus shout, Isaac. I was really on him going into last round and just couldn't pull the trigger. Like, I just couldn't talk myself. I honestly, he was my bench striker. And then I saw that Cucho was starting and I made Cucho my bench. Do you know, like I and he didn't produce, so it's okay. But I really liked him going into last round. I think he's a great shot this round, especially against Austin. So maybe I think we're remiss to not mention Messi, but like, here's my thing. I'm not going to start three strikers, even though I probably should. And depending on how CCL goes and what Miami puts out, even though it's a road game, I said this from this last year when he got here, I will never discount Messi. Sporting Kansas City are not like the tightest defense. I watched Portland put three late goals on them this last week, like just cutting through butter. It was ridiculous. And I'll admit that I haven't watched a ton of other sporting games, but they're not like super shutout crazy. For me, Messi would be lineup dependent. It's a lot of money. And I think that there's a lot of good striker options that would make me feel kind of like Isaac said, where when you see chalk, you want to run the other way. Like, I kind of feel like throwing Messi on my team would be a little ridiculous when there are some clear options of people that, you know, what I know are going to start and don't have Champions League midweek, but to come off the bench and score, I don't know. I'm not ignoring him to know that he's healthy. But he's not in my team right now.
I think it all makes sense. Nothing else to add with this. Arango was the first name I had for Ford. I was like, okay, him. And then after that, I was like, I don't know who else I want. And Isaac, you get a great list. I think Benteke is who comes at number two for me, just because of the production that he has had. And I do like that matchup. After that, it is a lot of, is it Rui? Is it Bawanga? I currently have Messi there as a placeholder just to see what happens. Because the way I've got my team set up right now, I've got, well, I'd loved your option, Ashley, about the double St. Louis defense. So I think I want to do that. Now that means I can't do Klaus, which there are things Isaac says about Klaus that I very much like as well. And so that's going to be a decision I make. But with a current thought that I have, I basically have a starting defense that is playing Sunday. And then I have New York Red Bulls on my bench to see what they do. If the Red Bulls hit, that gives me a lot of options to move things around the change, which could free up potentially having a Klaus there. I also have an Atlanta midfielder set up. So I could still have Benteke play, get a good shot at that. I could see the points that Messi has. So I've set up a lot of options potentially for me to see if Messi does start, if I choose to stay with Messi, what Messi's points could be. And I'm able to afford that still, which is the 0.9 left in the bank. So for me, I'm possibly willing to roll that die just based on what happens in Champions League. But I feel like I have a setup right now that allows me to do that because I am leaning heavily into the Sunday games. So, but otherwise, love the conversation. Check to see how that evolves. Everyone else listening this week, as the conversation goes on, as we get more information, especially after Champions League, before you settle on who you are going to go with. Looking over chat, you are less than helpful right now. You are making up names, and that is not helpful. So we are going to move on to forwards for this round, and I hate this one. Ashley.
I don't have a captain, and I know that that's a cop-out, and I hear it, and I'm not pleased with myself about it, but I don't have one. I leaned Espinoza, but it didn't feel great. So I think I'm going back and forth between Chicho and Espinoza, but I don't know.
Isaac.
See, this is interesting. I love how we all have the same defense, the same mids, but we're all on completely different pages with forwards and captains. I think that's where we're going to find the differentials this round for everybody. Yes. I'm on, like, my top three right now. It really has a lot to do with what the teams do in CCC. If it looks like the Revs are going to phone it in CCC, or if they're going to go full strength, rather. I like Santi Rodriguez. Sure. Just because everything's flown through him in New York. I expect goals from them, especially, I think it's at Yankee Stadium. You always bet on New York City at Yankee. I also like Forsberg, just because I said Chicago's allowing 2 goals a game. Chicho's a good one, too. If I was feeling really cheeky, I might put the captain on Klaus, just because of all those stats I said. I don't know if I trust it, but like if I wanted to go super differential.
That would be fun.
And that would be some big bragging rights if he gets a hat trick.
Sure. I don't think always hat trick hunting. That's what we do here at MLSF.
Yep. Clean sheets and hat tricks are nothing. Or, you know,
that's the game this year.
Yep.
So I honestly don't know. Right now, the captain is on Arango. That's who I have the captain on. I like Santi. I absolutely see why you would go with that. I don't know which team would be more spent from CCL, New England or Columbus. And there's maybe a good argument for it being New England.
So much.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'm 100% sure Columbus is going to go for it. I'm not so sure New England is. Yeah.
That's
Columbus
fair.
Actually
that's
has fair. A chance.
That's fair.
I don't think the Revs do. Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree with that. So, I mean, right now it's on Arango. But again, this is one I am not sure yet with the captain. I want to see these lineups. I want to see some more conversation about that and just kind of see how my team evolves. But if I had to pick two, I would agree those are the two that I'm looking at as well. But I honestly, right now, I can't say that I'm like, this is my guy, mm-hmm. period. End of discussion. This is my guy. I don't have a solid one right now. I'm also very much looking forward to, I didn't mention this earlier, we have a weekly poll at the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community. It's out right now for round 8. I'll ping the server a few times to get people to participate. It is our version of what MLS does with Skyler with his articles of player rankings. We poll the community to get your feedback and publish that feedback for everyone to see. And so I do enjoy looking at those results as well to see how they compare to what MLS is putting out and just to see how that might influence myself as well. I do make some picks based upon that. And I will clarify, because I've been mentioning this often because I know people have some concerns. Christian and I are the only two who are able to see the votes with that. And neither of us look at who votes a specific way. All we look at are the total votes for certain players when the rankings are listed. It has to be 20% before I post it. So I never look to see who has voted which players. So I'm not trying to get the scoop on you, but it is. That's an important article that I like to look at and just see how that. So if you have not participated in that, I encourage you, please do participate in the weekly player poll. Well, that's all that we have for the show tonight. Thank you so much for everyone who joined us. Thank you so much, Isaac, for joining us tonight. So we're going to wrap up everything with our plugs. And Isaac?
Just the Discord. It's fantastic. I think that's been the key to my recent success is I started treating the game like it was just a game and the results don't really matter.
Oh, yeah.
And focused on what I enjoyed the most, which is the discussion about the game. You know, like why this pick over that pick, why your picks are terrible and mine aren't, et cetera.
Ashley.
Yeah, I'll just echo that to Discord. If you're not there, what are you doing?
Sorry. Watching your kids fly to Arizona. That's what you're doing. So. And of course, yes, MLSFantasyBoss.com, where you can check out the articles that we do have that come out from the differential series and the Discord player poll that we have come out each week, as well as the posting for this stream and the podcast that we have through whichever podcast service that you prefer. And of course, as these guys already mentioned, the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community, and as we have mentioned multiple times throughout the show, it is the best MLS fantasy community for you to be a part of on the internet. If this is the first time listening to our show, please do check it out. It is fun. It is free. It is a good time to just go in and talk with people who are there to have fun. Exactly what Isaac said. There are people who are hardcore. There are people who are casual who are there. People who just want to talk about soccer. And that's what it's there for, a general fantasy community. And we would be so happy if you want to stop by and take a look. The easiest way to do that is MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord. But there is still going to be a lot of discussion as we all work to settle on our final teams for this round. I hope to see you there. And until next week, as always, good luck.